Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father, we invite you in this place. We give you praise for all your love and the grace and the mercy that you've poured out on us in your presence. Let this day be a day of a greater understanding of who you are in us and what you want to do through us. You are our resurrected King who dwells big in us. The resurrected King has resurrected me. He's resurrected you. He's given us life everlasting and everything that pertains to life and godliness right now in this earth. So, Father, I pray that your perfect will be done today, that your anointing would rise up in the hearts of all those that are here, and for your presence to be revealed to those that may not know you yet, that they may walk in knowing who you are. Help us understand our purpose in life and what you've called us to do, that we may glorify you in all we do. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Amen, amen. This is the day the Lord has made. And I went for a walk with Pastor Henry this morning. He's not feeling 100% right now. But I walked and he was on the phone. So we had a good time together. And that's something he started in me. He's the only guy I know that's helped me lose weight. That guy can walk. But he sends his best this morning. He loves you guys. He's praying for us right now. He's praying for you. And know that there's nothing that God won't do for you if you need it. Whether it be healing, whether it be finances, it doesn't matter. God's in here, and he just wants out. He really does. Great is the mystery that God is in us. Try to wrap your head around that. God chose to come into us and perform his perfect will. I think about that every day. Thank you. You know, my question to you today, if I remember, is what is your purpose? And I think we have that. What's God's purpose for your life? What is it? You know, I dare to say that most of you know what it is. Ever since you were a little bitty person, male, female, doesn't matter, there's something that you've wanted to do with in your life. I don't know, whether it's a fireman, police officer, a doctor, mechanic, there's something in here that you've always wanted to be. And it's amazing. It's not until after you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ that it just dawns on you. Maybe this is something I'm supposed to be doing. I mean, I didn't think about it. I mean, there's a lot of things I wanted to do in life. And one of the earliest things I can remember wanting to do is I wanted to be Elvis. Oh, yeah. I mean, who didn't want to be Elvis, you know? You're either an Elvis fan or a Beatles fan, and you couldn't be both. It just didn't work that way. Some were, but yeah. And I remember my dad coming home, and he had a stack of 45 records about this deep on an old phonograph, and I was going through every one of them. Man, I was standing in front of his bathroom mirror with a can of shaving cream or something in my hand, acting like I was Elvis, trying to sing. That is something that I've wanted to do ever since I can remember. One of the earliest memories I ever had. God put that there. You know, Psalms, I didn't write this or give this to Terry, but Psalms 37:4 says, to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, and that word delight means to stay soft and pliable, usable like clay. God wants us to be in His presence. And that's a song that Pastor Henry is writing. I don't think he's completed it yet, but in His presence, if we can stay there with Him and stay usable, that master potter is going to shape and mold us into what He wants us to be, what His perfect will is for our life. It says He will give you the desires of your heart. It literally means that He'll hold you accountable to what He's already put in your heart to do. It's not just your desire. It's a desire He put in your heart for you to do. And when we all begin to see and understand that gut feeling we have about what we want to accomplish and become, it becomes more of a reality that God did put that there. And what is His purpose for your life? I mean, that's my question to you today. If you don't know, ask Him, and He'll show you. I never envisioned myself being a minister. I always thought, can anything good come from Humboldt County, California? And the answer is yes. When you're born again, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what your background is. And that's something I'm going to go over here a little bit, but see if I can do this without knocking my mic off. It worked. What is the purpose for your life? The next thing I asked him to put up is to understand that until purpose is discovered, existence has no meaning. You know, and it's so true. Until purpose is discovered, existence has no meaning. Find out what it is that God wants you to do and run with it. I mean, I see so many of you here, and the neat thing about being a grandparent or someone who's older, and I've said this a lot, that I feel right now, you know, I'm 60-something. I'm 60 till I'm 70. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. But I feel like right now I'm finally at a place in life where I could be a parent. I feel like I finally have enough knowledge that I could give some good advice to a young person. I mean, when you're, as my wife and I were 16, 17, having kids, I mean, what do you know? You know, your kids having kids. So being a grandparent for us is like it's a new dimension. It's a world that we love, because we actually have some information stored up from making a lot of mistakes. We got the answers for those mistakes that we made. So understanding your purpose and realizing that until purpose is discovered, existence, it just doesn't have any meaning. You know, Pastor Henry, for the last couple of years, you know, he doesn't think of it this way, but I do. He has discipled me. He has helped draw out of me things that have been laying dormant for a long time. We all have reasons why we go, you know, the decisions we make in life, the places we go, the things we do. But he has helped draw out of me what I already knew was in there, but I guess I needed the encouragement to do so. And I was sitting there one day, and he's kind of like, if I tell my wife, I said, man, that sure be neat to have. I got to watch what I say, because next thing I know, in the mail, here comes what I said it'd be nice to have. So I have to be careful, you know, that I don't, I haven't said I want a Corvette, fortunately, that didn't show up. But I told Pastor Henry the same story I told you, how when I was a little bitty boy, I liked singing. I even had a little guitar that I used, didn't know how to use it, and only had a couple strings. But I said, you know, I always wanted to play the guitar, and I said, one day I will. And the next day I came to see him, there was two guitars in his office. And he goes, and I go, what's that for? And he goes, that's for you. You're going to learn how to play the guitar. And I go, okay. He's drawn out of me, and that's what we do for each other. We see potential in you. I mean, it's a lot easier sometimes for me to see potential in you than you to see it in yourself. That's just how it is. It's easy to be on the outside looking in and see what's going on. Sometimes when we're in the middle of things, things get cloudy and we're not really aware of what's going on. So until purpose is discovered, existence has no meaning. And I actually brought, I think it, the name he gave it was Old Bessie, wasn't it? Old Bessie. I brought Old Bessie, and you know, I'm going to use this as an analogy in a minute, just to help you understand that if there's something you really want to do with all your heart, just do it. I mean, what do you got to lose? Why are you waiting? You know, we got a lot to accomplish in the short amount of time that we have left here. We really do. So if you want to play a guitar, do it. If you want to write a book, do it. I love writing. It takes me a long time, but I can write some good letters. You know, I didn't know I had that in me until I got born again. And I can write some nice letters. And words that I didn't even know I knew just seem to pop up. So what is your purpose in life? You know, don't waste time. Pursue it. Go after it. Because we really are here for only a short amount of time. We all know that the sound of the trumpet could happen today. Today. And there's a lot of people around you that need what you have in you. I think I got something written down here I'd like to share with you. Please turn to Proverbs 20, verse 5. And I am reading today out of the New King James, I think. This is this says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel or purpose or the plan or the project in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There is so much within you that God is longing for you to draw. Not, God's abounding towards us. We know that from Ephesians, right? God is running at us. He's going, please take this. I want you to have it. This is what I've given for you. I've given you salvation. And in salvation is healing, prosperity, soundness of mind. He's running at us with it. And he's wanting us to grab a hold of it and make it our own. And then he literally is waiting for us to bring it forth, to make it happen. We have a responsibility to walk in God's word and to the things that he presents before us. So the purpose of a man's heart, this is another translation, it says, the purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws it out. The entrance of God's word brings forth light. Actually, in the Hebrew, it says exact light. The more that we're in God's word, the more that we're going to understand what it is God wants us to do in his word, through his word. And in Galatians chapter 2, in verses 7 through 8. It says, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, had been committed to me, this is Paul, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. You know, we're talking about purpose. These two gentlemen had the same goal in spreading the gospel. They had the same call of God on our life to reach the multitudes. But each of them had a specific call to a specific people. And I want to tell you that you are unique. Every one of you is unique in who you are. Only you can say the things that you can say in a way that someone else can hear it. You know, there's so many times you might be in the midst of a group of people and you feel like God's telling you to say something. Like, tell that person I love him. You know, a lot of you, you've heard this story, but it's a good story. And it just shows you what God will do if one person follows that unction, that gut feeling of God's telling you to say something. I was walking through a store, and I pulled a 24-hour shift at a mill, and I was tired. I still had coveralls on. I had oil, grease. I stunk. And I'm walking through the store, and in this store comes this lady walking down the hallway, and I mean, she looked like everything in the world she had. It looked like she was wealthy. She just looked like she had it all. And as I'm walking up to her, the Spirit of the Lord told me, and this is one of the first times I ever heard this, and I didn't know what to do with it. It freaked me out. He said, tell that woman I do love her. And I go, yeah, right. I don't think so, Tim, you know? And I was so tired that as she was walking up to me, I just caved. I just gave in. I go, what I got to lose, man? I'm tired. It doesn't matter. So she walked up, and right when she got in front of me, I said, ma'am, I hope this doesn't offend you, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that God does love you. She just broke. I mean, she was weeping. Makeup was running. I had people walking by me like, what'd you do to her? What'd you say? I go, I didn't do nothing, you know? And after about 5 minutes, she got her composure and she looked at me and she goes, you're not going to believe this. But last night I was laying in bed and I just looked up at the ceiling and I said, if you're really there, like everybody says, send someone to me to tell me you do love me. You know? Hallelujah. That's a Red Sea splitting experience. I didn't know her. She didn't know me, but God knew us both. That's an awesome experience. That's what God wants to do through each and every one of us every day. If you see someone in the store and God tells you to say God loves them, do it. You know, your first inclination sometimes may be, I don't think so, you know, but do it. The worst thing that can come out of it, you get a little embarrassed and they look at you kind of funny, but you never know. They might walk off and say something ugly to you and say, I don't need God. But because you said that, at some point in time, they're going to remember what you said. God is going to bring recall to their understanding, their mind, that God loves them. You did your part. And I love what, I think it was Sessor said, in pertaining to ministry, I don't take the credit and I don't take the blame. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's not my responsibility to heal anybody. I'm just supposed to be responsible with what God said. And if I do that by faith, it's all on him. You know? So that's what we're called to do. That's part of our purpose. That's part of who we are as believers. We have authority in this world. Think of it. Mankind has authority over every work of darkness on this planet. And I'm grateful for the amount of time that people have spent with me, encouraging me, the things that God wants to do through me, and to pay attention to what I'm seeing in the lives of other people and encourage them. Because just like I said before, right now, I feel like I can finally, I got enough wisdom and guidance to be a parent. You're going to see things in other people's lives. You're going to see purpose in them. You're going to see things that they may not see. And when you do, you know the old saying, he who sees it, S-E-E-E-S it, should seize it, S-E-I-E-Z-E, it. We're called to seize. If you see a need in the church, if you see a need at the grocery store, if you see a need at home, that responsibility is put on your shoulders to do it. It's really that simple. That's Christianity at its finest, that we're If you see a need, you do it. And we all know that if everybody did that, there wouldn't be a need in the planet. I guarantee you, if you walk into a store or you're at a gas station and somebody's putting some gas in their tank and they just realize, you see them, I forgot my wallet, and they need gas to get home, and you help them, you took care of that need. What if everybody on the planet did that on a regular basis? There wouldn't be the needs that we have today. The seed is in itself. The seed for our country is in us. The seed for Africa is in Africa. That doesn't mean we shouldn't support people that are in Africa, but you got to understand that the seed is in itself. In the believers in Africa is the Holy Ghost, is God Almighty, just screaming to let me out. Let me become what I want to become in you and through you. So understand, find out what your purpose is if you don't know already. If you do, you know, begin to walk in that. I'm going to just read something I jotted down last night. Paul's, and this is in reference to the last scripture I just read in Galatians chapter 2. Paul's purpose or reason for being born was specifically to go to the non-Jewish world and to share the good news of reconciliation to God. The Apostle Peter was called to oversee the church in Jerusalem. Both shared in the spread of the gospel, but their purposes were separate and specific. Your purpose is going to be totally different than the person next to you. You have a specific call in your life. They could not have changed places and remained true to God's purpose for their lives. The same is true for you. No one can take your place or purpose. And for you, there's no substitute. There isn't. You are who you are, and you're specific, and you're important, and you have a call on your life. You can reach people I can't. I can reach people you can. You know? And that's something I want to encourage you all in, is just find out what it is that God's calling you to do today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But what is, as Pastor Henry always says, what is God saying to you today? You know, Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is now. It's not tomorrow. We don't need it tomorrow. We need it today. So find out what your purpose is. Talk to, you know, that's the thing about discipleship. I know Terry and I talked about, a lot of guys in the men's breakfast, I mean, we talked about this. And I know when I first got born again, I was starving, man. I was a sponge. I didn't know anything about God. I mean, I ran from God all my life as hard as I could. And when I finally met him, I wanted to know everything that was right. I woke up the next day after I gave my life to God. It was 12, 1 o'clock at night. And I fell asleep on the floor in front of the couch. And I just kind of like that lady, I said, if you're really up there, I need you. I can't take this anymore. I woke up the next morning, born again. I didn't know what that meant. I was healed. Yeah. I didn't know what that meant. I mean, my body didn't hurt. I worked jobs. I got 2 hours sleep a night most of the time. And the work that I did was very physical, and I was burnt out. I was just at the end. And I woke up, and for the first time in my life, I felt clean. You can't even put words to what a person feels when they go from darkness to light like that. You know, I was free. And, you know, my wife and I have been together 50 years, 43. Guys are always rounding up, right? But you know, it seems like it's been forever, and I'm a blessed man because of it. But my wife came out. I mean, I went in and woke her up that morning. I said, "Honey, God did something in my life. I don't get it." But man, I ran before I went to see her. I went in the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror. I go, "Who is this guy?" You know, when I was 15, I did the same thing. When I was 15, I wanted to know what it was like just to be me, just to be normal. I came from a pretty wild home life, and so by the time I was 15, there's nothing I hadn't done in life that was wrong. And I wanted to know at that time. I was tired of it. Even then, I wanted to be free. I wanted to be something good, but I didn't know how. And it was right after that, within the year, that God brought this young lady across my path. And for the first time in my life, I looked at somebody in their eyes, and I saw what I wanted to be. I mean, that was it. I mean, she was always happy. She was always having a good time. She always had energy. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to wake up and have a normal life. And because of God in our lives, it's been a very incredible journey that we've been on. So God has a purpose for you. And I found that purpose that day when I woke up off my floor. And I went in, looked in the mirror, and I went in and shook my wife, said, "Wake up, wake up. God's done something in my life." And she pulled the covers over her head. She goes, "I heard it all before." I said, "Fair enough. I deserve that. After all these years, man, I deserve that." And I said, "You'll see. I can't explain what happened. You'll see." So I won. From that day until now, I turned into a sponge. And I listened to Abe. I listened to Terry. I listened to people in our men's breakfast. And it's all the same thing. Hank, we need help. We need support. We need each other. And that's what discipleship is. It's just coming alongside someone that you see potential in and encouraging them. And say, "Hey, let's go try this. Hey, let's..." That's what iron sharpens iron. So we need each other. We really do. You can't, you know, if anybody could have lived the grizzly lifestyle, or Grizzly Adams, it would have been me. I loved it. Up in the mountains, alone. I loved it. But you know what? After I got born again, it just didn't feel right. I feel like I needed people in my life. I needed help. I needed instruction. And I started getting it. So the Holy Spirit will fulfill your every need. He will give you your heart's desire. Man, understand what His purpose is for your life and go pursue it. You know, pursue it with all your heart. Never give up, and understand what God wants to do for you. God's purpose is not hindered by your past. It really isn't. Now, I'm testimony to that. Y'all are, you know. Everybody's had a checkered past of some sort. He turned a coward, Gideon, into a mighty leader. He took a murderer, Moses, in Exodus chapter 3. A murderer. I dare to say, probably nobody in here has done that, I hope. God took and used a murderer and turned him into a deliverer. He also turned a prostitute, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well of Jacob. And that's in John chapter 4. It's a lot of reading. It's verses 1 through 42. And turned her into a preacher. Imagine what he could make you. You are not. Imagine what he could make you. Nothing you have done can cancel your purpose. Nothing. God can use anyone. The world is waiting for you to produce your purpose. Don't wait. And remember this, that no manufacturer, I worked in the woods, I worked in mills, high production. I understand that if you don't have a head rig operator, if you don't have a sawyer, if you don't have an edgerman, if you don't have a chip, you don't have a truck driver, you don't have a business, because they all work together in sequence. And that's what we are for each other. You have a specific purpose for this church, for this community, for your home. And it doesn't work unless everybody's in their proper place. The praise and worship team up here, the guys behind the booth, everybody is making this thing happen. You all have a purpose. No manufacturer goes through the trouble to design, produce, and market a product for which he has no purpose. And that's God's illustration to us. He wouldn't have gone through the trouble of making you and preparing you and molding you in who you are if he didn't expect to work it out in you. You have a purpose. And my challenge to you today is if you don't know what that is, pursue it. Ask God. He'll show you. If you do know, today's the day. Today's the day. Make it happen, because there's someone out there that's about to hear from you. There's somebody. The times that I've spent in prison, ministering to other men, was one of the most rewarding things I've ever experienced. There's guys in there that are so free in Christ. It's amazing. Seeing miracles working and going on behind bars. I would have never experienced that if I never would have went. I felt such a tug after I got saved to go back and try to fix all the wrongs I had done. And I began to find my purpose, why I'm here, what my call is. So I encourage you, find out what your call is. Pursue it. Don't let a day go by without making something happen. Because today might be the day that we go home. And there's somebody out there that needs to hear from you. And keep it simple. If your heart's desire is to be a contractor, do it with all your heart. Find a way. If God's called you to preach, get after it. Use what you've got where you're at. If God's called you to sing, oh, you know what? Speaking of singing, I got a present for you. I'm going to grab that back here. No, I don't plan on hitting anybody with this. And I don't really plan on playing it. But, well, thank you very much. See, when you're as new at this as I am, I watch Pastor Henry walking around here. We'll come in and he's praising and we're walking around. And he's sitting there doing this without looking. I go, drive me nuts. I got to be able to see a chord. And the only reason I bring this up here is I just want you to see the simplicity of what it's like to do something that you're not used to doing, that you may not feel comfortable about doing. You know, music has always been a part of my life. I've loved it. Music moved me before I was ever saved. It did. And it wasn't always in a good way, but music moved me. And so it's something that God put in there for me to accomplish. You know, that little kid, I got a picture. When I was 4 years old, my parents took me down to Hollywood Studios to, I don't even know what it's called, where they take your pictures and they audition you and stuff to see if you're qualified for a part in a movie. Man, I got these, a ton of these little pictures. I'm dressed like a sailor man, a cowboy. I'm singing. I got this little guitar. It's got two strings on it, and I got this funny little hat on and this suit. My mouth's open about that big, and I'm just playing away. And maybe that's where it all started. I don't know. But that desire in me for music has always grown. And being able to be around here like I am from time to time, I've entered into this place when Pastor Henry was all by himself. And he'd be standing off in a corner somewhere, and he would be praising God. He would be singing in the Spirit. He would be singing in his understanding. And I'm telling you what, I was talking with Pastor Dave back here one day, and I saw Henry over here, Pastor Henry, playing, and I told Dave, I go, I like to keep talking, but I got to go over here. I felt the presence of God coming my way, and it was pulling me towards Pastor Henry. I just had to get, I had to be a part of it. I mean, there's just, you know, so many times in life we experience something like this and we count it as a blessing, something you remember. And he didn't even know I walked over there. I went over there and sat down next to him, and I just entered into what God was doing. And my lovely wife, she called me. And right in the middle of him, he ding-a-ling-a-ling. I mean, it startled me. Henry went, whoa, I didn't know you were there. And I go, sorry, man. So I went out and answered the phone. But music, it creates a presence. It creates God, an atmosphere, his substance, his glory. Man, I was touched that day. And, you know, it just made me realize everything that he's spoken into my life since I've met him, he's always pulling something out of me, always making me maybe do something I don't want to do to make me get out of my comfort zone to accomplish something. And I really appreciate that in him, and I know you guys do too. You know, he's been a great example to follow. And if somebody can take, like me, an old Betsy, that's what Pastor Henry calls this guitar, old Betsy. And if music for you guys that are part of the worship team, that music is just second nature to you, man. You can play, you can jam, you can, remember, there's someone like me that wants to be like you, you know? We really do. And to find your purpose, sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, pursue it. So I sit at home, and there's something that Pastor Henry has always said to me. He said, Pat, the journey validates the arrival. Everything that we go through in life is and something I've always said, I've mixed the two together, and I'm going to write a song. I've always said that preparation time is not wasted time. It's not. All those years of what you've done with your life, it's not wasted. Sometimes you can feel that way, like I let it slip, man. I haven't been pursuing God like I should. Guys, it's not wasted time. You just ask Moses sometime when you get to heaven. He spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. And I really feel like God brought me and my family, and my wife and I, to the backside of the desert. I didn't want to come here. I'll be the first to tell you. When you grow up in the Redwoods, the desert's just not all that appealing. But home is where you're at. And there is a purpose why we were drawn here and we came here. So whatever your purpose is, find it. Do something as simple as just get alone with God. You know, I sit there and I make up these little songs as I go. You know, that's one chord. I didn't know it was called a chord till the other day. I said, yeah, I got a key here. And I go, that's not a key, man. That's a chord. You know? So I take that thing that I've always said, you know, Preparation time is not wasted time, and the journey validates the arrival. And I'm gonna make a song out of this someday. You just watch and see what I'm saying. You know, that's pursuing something. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, whatever your purpose is, whatever your ambition is, whatever you want to do, do it. You know what it took for me to do this? You know, it's like, this is what Abe told me. He goes, this is debut of the rock and roll guitar man, you know? How many knows who Bob Dylan is? Okay. Well, Carrie calls me Pat Dylan. I'll sit in there with one chord, and I'll strum a little different, and I'll sing all this different kind of stuff in my study, and she'll be in the kitchen going, Pat Dylan, just, you know. But that's who I'm, a storyteller. Whether it be in music, and sometimes if music is in you and you're not really operating in that yet, but you want to, try singing what you want to say. Man, I was sitting here like this, got my desk right here, and I got the Bible out. And I just started singing the word. I was singing the Psalms, and it was amazing. For me, anyways, the way God moved in my life while I'm doing that. I mean, I'm understanding the word in a way that I didn't before, because I'm operating in something that I never operated in before. God is showing me some things. He's going to show you those same things as you pursue what it is that you really want to do. Be bold, be brave, never give up, get after it. Life is short. God loves you, so do I. Pastor Henry sends his love. Told me this morning he's feeling better. He's out. He said that cardinal's giving him a bad time in the backyard because Rosie's not there. That cardinal loves Rosie. So, you know, God bless you guys. And if there's anybody that wants prayer, we got people here that want to pray for you. I mean, if you're wanting help finding out what your purpose is, and you want to know how to walk in that, ask God. Come up here and we'll pray with you. We'll agree with you. And God will make it happen. He's waiting on us. A lot of people are waiting on God, but I'll tell you what, God is waiting on us. He really is. So, Father, I thank you. I give you praise for the gifts and calling that you have for us that are in our life. And we give you glory and honor for fulfilling those things in our life. Father, I pray that as we go our way, that you'll give us a discernment we need as we walk through the stores, as we walk through the schools. We have people here that are going and praying, walking. I mean, Pastor Henry does it. We're praying over our school systems. We all see and read about what's going on in the newspapers and stuff. I mean, it is not nice, and it's not a good place for our kids. So we need to support them. We need to lift them up and pray for them, encourage them, motivate them to go into that school system where they belong and become little prayer warriors, to stand strong, stand bold in the things of God. So, Father, let this day be a day that you have made, and thank you for all things that pertain to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody that needs prayer, man, come up. And with that, I say, I don't have my guitar, so I can't sing it to you. Have a great day. God bless you. Amen.